The long-awaited day has come. And I'm not just talking your long wait. God's long wait. Today's beautiful celebration has a very long prehistory. Goes back way before you proposed in Orlando, February 1st, 2016. Before the first time you met, April 30th, 2015, at a train station in Providence. Before your first email, the day before Thanksgiving, in 2014. Before Cassandra stopped studying St. Thomas Aquinas at Franciscan University of Steubenville in order to sign you up on CatholicMatch.com because she was tired of desperately waiting for godchildren. Went back to before either of you were even born, before the foundation of the world, to that time before God said, "Let there be light." He created marriage in the beginning in His image. And He intended to meet you here today. He's been waiting a long time, and He's doubtless very excited. This day was chosen with great specificity. It wasn't just any open Saturday in beautiful New Bedford in October. You chose October 7th, 2017, as your wedding day, because today is the feast of Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. During the centenary of the apparitions of the Lady of the Rosary in Fatima. And you told me that you wanted to consecrate your marriage to Our Lady under this title, the title Mary herself used when Lucia asked her what she would be called. Just as you chose it with that type of detail, so has God. In the gospel we just heard, we saw how Jesus went to Cana in Galilee to bless that young couple and work His first miracle. Today that same Jesus had circled the calendar and comes here to meet you, to work a far greater miracle, to join you for the rest of your life in one flesh. Mary likewise has been invited to this wedding. And she's interceding for you for what she recognizes you need before, like that young couple, they even realized it. And she wants to teach you, as she taught the servants at that wedding, to do whatever Jesus, her son, says, praying that you will cooperate like those servants. It's an interesting detail when St. John gives us that there were six stone water jars, each that could contain 20 to 30 gallons of water. You couldn't carry those stone water jars to the one place in Cana where you could get water, which was the well. So even if you had five servants with 3-gallon jugs going to that well, it would have taken them 12 round trips in order to fill up those jugs. But St. John tells us they filled them to the brim. They could have taken 6 trips and at least let Jesus do His thing, or 9 trips, or 11 trips, but they filled it right to the brim, showing how we are called to cooperate with the Lord. And as Jesus comes into your lives today in a new way, to join you together for the rest of your lives, He's hoping that you will respond with that same zeal. St. Peter, in today's second reading that you chose, described the types of virtues he would like filling the life of every couple. Talking to brides, he said, "Your adornment shouldn't be external. Shouldn't be in a veil, shouldn't be in a dress, shouldn't be in jewelry, but in the hidden character of the heart, expressed in the imperishable beauty of a gentle and calm disposition, which is precious in the light of God, like the holy women whose praises are sung in the Scriptures." Alex, today you're marrying a woman who is so rich on the inside, one of the greatest that this parish has to offer. What a wise choice you're making. He calls both of you to brim by being of one mind, sympathetic, sharing each other's feelings, loving toward each other just as Christ has loved you first, holding nothing back, compassionate, sharing each other's sufferings, humble, lifting the other always up, and returning a blessing to each other. Christ, as he blesses your love today, wants to make you the enfleshment of his continuous blessing for each other. Christ himself incarnated all of these virtues, and he wants to give them to you in abundance. Invite him and all his blessings into your marriage every day. St. Francis de Sales, one of my favorite saints, in talking about the gospel of the wedding feast of Cana, said in the 1500s what could easily be said still today, that so many young couples unfortunately don't really invite Jesus and Mary to their wedding. He says they invite Adonis and Venus, the pagan gods of romance and eros. He says, if you wish your marriage to receive to its fullness what God wants, let Jesus fulfill his wish, not just to meet you on October 7th, 2017, but on October 8th and every other day moving forward until he comes for each of you at the end of your life. Let him come with his hand constantly raised in blessing, constantly wanting to actualize the miracle of his love for you. Just as much as today, Jocelyn, you hear the words of Genesis in a personal cue, do you wish to go with this man, as Rebecca was asked, and respond saying, I do? You do so not just to Alex, but both of you hear these words. Do you wish to go with this God-man? And you're called to say in harmony as a couple, as you will say together in a few minutes at the statements of intention right before your vows, I do, putting your full I into it, but not doing it individually, doing it in harmony with each other. And the great way to say that I do and to grow in your capacity to receive the blessings God wants to give you is in the school of the greatest disciple of all time, the one whom God the Father from all eternity chose to be the mother of his Son, and whom that Son, dying for us on the cross, chose to be our mother. And her school is the school of the Rosary, which is the compendium of the Gospel. I rejoice that the Rosary has played such a part in your lives and in your relationship. When we met in New York, Jocelyn, you told me how you grew up praying the Rosary as a family after family dinners. You told me quite honestly that a lot of the times you didn't want to pray the Rosary every day after dinners, but Zelda and Henry, good job in teaching her how to pray. Eventually you formed those habits so that this began to take on your life and your heart evermore. Alex, you told me how it was a part of stoking your desire to want to enter the Catholic Church. You described for me how in the earliest days of your relationship, before you had ever met in person, you prayed the Rosary together on Skype. And this is how you remember that time, Joss. I remember the first time Alex asked me to pray the Rosary with him over Skype. I've prayed the Rosary with many people before, but this was the first time I was praying with Alex. And it was different. It felt like I had known him my whole life, and that praying with him was natural and so comfortable. It was then I began to sense that God had plans for us, and that Alex might be the one I had prayed for since I was a teenager, and prayed for more specifically in 2011 when I last went on pilgrimage to Fatima during World Youth Day. And after you met for that first time, before you headed back to Virginia, Alex, You gave Jocelyn your set of rosary beads that you had been praying with daily for months, praying for her, praying for your relationship, praying for all the other needs. It was in the Capilinha on August 15th, 2011, the last day we were there, that Kate took a photo of you on your knees praying for your vocation, Joss. That if God wanted you to be a woman religious, you'd say yes. That if God wanted you to be married, to give you this beautiful vocation, that you would be likewise ready to say yes. And you prayed for whoever your future husband would be, and you prayed for the blessing of children. And Mary was listening. The rosary is such an important part of the message the Mother of God went to the Cova Diria in Fatima to announce to us. She went there to teach us to pray the rosary, to summon us to this great spiritual weapon, and to help us help the whole world lift up this great gift for world peace. One of my favorite stories of the apparitions of Our Lady in Fatima is how Our Lady was compelled gently to correct the three pastorinhos, the three shepherd children, for cheating on how they used to pray the rosary. The eldest, at the time 10-year-old Lucy, described in her memoirs what they were doing and why. That they had been told by their parents when they went out to watch the sheep to say the rosary after lunch, but they really just wanted to play, and so they worked out a way to do it quickly. They would finger all the beads, but as the sheets would teach everybody to pray the rosary, it would just say that what you do is you pray a Pai Nosso, Deus Ave Maria, Yum Gloria. That you pray 1 hour, you pray Our Father, and then Hail Mary 10 times, and Glory Be. And that's all they did for 5 decades. Our Father, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. And Mary had to gently correct them, to teach them how to pray the full prayer. But that was the first part of her instruction in her school for us to take advantage of this. The second is when she told little Jacinta to go to her parish church in Aljustro, one of the tiny little parts of Fatima, and learn how to pray the rosary better by meditating on the scenes, the 15 tapestries in that church, where the, so that she would be able to obtain what those mysteries contained. She immediately put that into practice. Learning how to pray this Christocentric Marian prayer, not just correctly but well, was central to Our Lady's message 100 years ago. And in every single appearance, she called the three shepherd children and through them all of us to take up the rosary. In May, at her first apparition, she asked them to recite the rosary every day to bring peace to the world and an end to World War I. 1 month later, as they were praying the rosary, she appeared to him again and reiterated that they should say the rosary each day. In July, she said, pray the rosary every day in honor of Our Lady of the Rosary to obtain peace in the world. And when you recite the rosary, say at the end of every decade, O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need. The following month, she expressed her wish that they continue to pray it every day. September, she added, I want you to continue to recite the rosary to obtain the end of the war with greater insistence. And finally in October, what the whole church will mark on this upcoming Friday, October 13th, she revealed her identity as Our Lady of the Rosary and said, I desire that people continue to recite the rosary every day. Could the Mother of God have been any more emphatic about the importance of praying the rosary daily, or about our relating to her and to the blessed fruit of her womb through this holy chain of love? So I'm so happy that you want to found your married life together on her call to pray the rosary every day. St. John Paul II emphasized that the rosary is a prayer of the family and for the family. He wrote in his beautiful exhortation, trying to encourage every Catholic to pray the rosary every day, that at one time this prayer was particularly dear to Christian families and it brought them closer together. And it's so important for us not to lose this precious inheritance. Said we need to return to the practice of family prayer and prayer for families using the Holy Rosary. He said, I therefore ask those who devote themselves to the pastoral care of families to recommend most heartily the recitation of the Rosary every day. Because, he said, the family that prays together stays together. And the Holy Rosary, by age-old tradition, has shown itself particularly effective as this type of prayerful glue that brings the family together. Today, Jocelyn and Alex, Jesus is going to join you in one flesh. But he doesn't want to stop there. He wants to facilitate your joining as much as humanly possible, your hearts and your souls. And that happens through the deepest of all human activities, which is opening up our hearts and souls to God and to each other in joint prayer. That's why the rosary is so important in a home. Because the more you pray it well, the more Mary is able to facilitate the end of what today's about. Many of the problems facing families today, St. John Paul II said, happens because they have difficulty in communicating well. Families don't come together. And on the rare occasions when they do, a lot of the times they just watch television. To return to the recitation of the family rosary, he said, means filling daily life with different images than we see on a high-def screen. The image of the Most Blessed Mother, the image of the Redeemer, the images of the mysteries of salvation. And he concluded by saying the family that recites the rosary together reproduces something of the atmosphere of the household of Nazareth, of the Holy Family. Because the family that prays the rosary together places Jesus at its center. They share his joys and sorrows. They place their needs and their plans in his hands. They draw from him the hope and the strength to go on. Praying the rosary each day will sustain you in the happiest moments of your life. Those times of richer, of good health. But it'll also sustain you through the sorrowful mysteries of life. Through the worse, the sicker, the poorer, as it seeks to lead you through the mysteries of light to the mysteries of glory, in which the Lamb will be the eternal light. Draw your strength from this great gift. In Latino culture, there's a beautiful practice where after they exchange their vows, they kneel together. And then they are tied with a lasso, not out of the southwest, but a huge set of rosary beads that are linked over their shoulders as a special prayer through Our Lady's intercession is made. I was joking with Daniel, our altar boy, about the fact that I have an invisible mohawk, just like he has a mohawk. I think he still thinks I'm telling the truth. But today, there's going to be a true but real invisible lasso. Lasso of this chain of love, the rosary, seeking to unite you more and more deeply. This gift of the rosary is a school of faith. Alex, you told me when we met in New York that you had been praying for someone that would help you grow in your Catholic faith. Being that you were a convert in your early 20s. And God sent you two women. Don't worry, Jocelyn. First, he sent you Jocelyn, a catechist here at this parish during her teenage years. Somebody who was so good in teaching the faith that I did the crazy thing of making her the director of religious education in her baby 20s. But the school that's going to be your home is not just a one-way street in which she's the professor and you're the student. Jocelyn, when we were together, you said how much you learn in return, that Alex makes you want to be a better woman and a better Catholic. You told me he converted, and so he's learning new things about the faith that I take for granted. While I help him learn more about the gift of our Catholic faith, he helps me to become a better human being. He calls me out on my shortcomings when I have a short fuse. He gently reminds me when I should do something for someone because it's simply the right thing to do. He's helped me as I've tried to help him mature a lot and set goals for myself that I was afraid of even striving for before meeting him. Alex, as I have sought to bring him closer to Christ, has brought me closer to Jesus through his Christ-like love for me. And now I'm better able to see and understand God's love for me through his eyes. But God didn't just send you Jocelyn and Jocelyn. God didn't just send you Alex. But he sent both of you, Mary. And this is the school in which she will help you advance more and more in the art of learning from her son, the Divine Master. And that school always leads us here. One of the things that I loved so much about being pastor here for 7 years and giving tours to thousands coming to see this beauty was to take them through the stained glass windows. And I would ask Christians who are coming in, do you recognize any patterns? Some did. Some were able to isolate certain scenes. But here in this beautiful church, like in many Catholic churches, we've got the mysteries of the Holy Rosary. Starts over here on the right with the Annunciation and the Visitation and the birth of Jesus. Joyful mysteries are here. Then we've got the sorrowful mysteries stretching along the back. Then we have Jesus' resurrection and his ascension, the glorious mystery, until it's all culminating up above in the beautiful triptych of the coronation of Our Lady. Out of all the possible scenes when Father Ormidar de Laurier was designing the church at the beginning of the 1900s, why'd he choose to put this schema? Because it was highlighting a very important truth. Because the more we meditate on the blessed fruit of Mary's womb and all of these mysteries of his saving work in life, the more we're capable of recognizing him here under the appearances of simple bread and wine. That the rosary is a preparation for the Mass. And it's to the Mass that Our Lady constantly seeks to guide us. In the ancient basilicas, like in St. Peter's in Rome, the altars were always covered with canopies to symbolize that the altar is meant to be a marriage bed, just like beds are covered with canopies in ancient honeymoon suites. The altar was meant to be a marriage bed where the bride of Christ, the church, takes within her the body and blood of the bridegroom, Jesus himself, becomes one flesh and is capacitated to bear fruit in acts of love. And that's exactly what happens here when we, the church, become one flesh with Jesus, the eternal bridegroom. We receive his love within and are made capable in tandem with him of loving others as he has loved us first. And that's why it's not just added liturgical garnish that you pronounce your vows in the context of a Mass. Because your union is meant to bring you into even deeper union with Jesus, the eternal bridegroom. And so today, your family and your friends rejoice to join you here in this church. All of the angels of St. Anthony's rejoice to hover and intercede for you as you come forward hand in hand to this marriage bed where Christ will love you and join you to himself and to each other in a bond of holy love and bless you. And all of us pray that through you and your Christ-like love for each other, he will bless us all. Our Lady of the Holy Rosary, pray for them.